From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. The big story today, right here in Southern California, where wildfires continue to rage.
1,000 homes have been destroyed in San Diego County, and thousands more are still in danger as three large fires continue to burn out of control. Authorities have evacuated 300,000 people from San Diego County. The hot, dry Santa Ana winds that have been fanning the flames are not quite as strong today as they were yesterday, but forecasters say the shifting winds are a mixed blessing. NPR Scott Horsley joins us now on the line from San Diego. And Scott, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said yesterday that what San Diego needed was a break in the weather. And is that what's happening now?
Well, Madeline, in the eastern part of the county, the wind is still blowing out of the east. It's a dry Santa Ana, but it's not as strong as it was yesterday. That's allowing authorities to fight these fires with fixed-wing aircraft, which they couldn't do at this time yesterday. Closer to the coast, the wind has begun blowing out of the west, off the ocean, and that's bringing in some moisture air and keeping the fire from advancing to the west. But it's also, in some cases, pushing the fire back in new directions. So San Diego's Emergency Services Chief Ron Lane said this is really a very unpredictable time.
We are in for another very dangerous day today. The fact that the winds are starting to shift means that our population and our public really need to really pay attention to the news today. Just because you're safe right now and the fire looks like it's going away from you, that could shift.
One indication of that, there are three big fires burning in San Diego County, and one in the far northern end of the county. It was quieter than expected overnight, but at the same time, a fire along the southern border with Mexico flared up. That's caused new evacuation orders this morning, including an immigration detention center along the border.
Well, where are all these people going? 300,000 people.
A lot of folks are staying with friends and relatives in those parts of the county that are still safe, and there are still some parts of San Diego County that are not in the line of fire. Some folks took shelter in hotels, although people in some cases who thought they were in a hotel that was safe were then forced to move on again in advance of the flames. There are also about 24 emergency shelters that have been set up around San Diego, the biggest at the Qualcomm football stadium. And as of this morning, about 10,000 people were staying there. That number is expected to grow as the South County fire flares up and causes new evacuations. The mayor, Jerry Sanders, put out a call this morning for additional food, water, cots, and pillows at Qualcomm. So far, he says the people in San Diego have really responded with an outpouring of assistance.
I think probably at Qualcomm Stadium, we had as many volunteers as we had people affected, and I think that that was people working together, feeling good about helping each other, and feeling good about accepting that help.
We are told that the scene at Qualcomm Stadium was very orderly overnight, and just in case, there were some National Guard troops on hand. Mayor Sanders says they made the people there feel very cared for in the special way that only a uniformed National Guardsman can do.
Hmm. So, Scott, any idea from firefighters when they hope to get these fires under control?
A huge amount of firefighting resources are coming into the county. Hundreds of additional ground troops, additional aircraft to fight the fire from the sky. So in a sense, the cavalry is arriving. But these are massive fires, and it's going to take time. Every time the firefighters get a break in one part of the county, the fire moves out of control in another part of the county. They are talking about letting some people go back to their homes or what's left of their homes in places that have already burned or where the fire's passed on. But they're doing that in a very deliberate timetable. What they don't want to do is have people go back into an area only to have to evacuate them again.
NPR Scott Horsley covering the fires from San Diego. Thank you.
My pleasure, Madeline.
And here's more from that San Diego stadium, Qualcomm, that's now a refugee center for thousands. Reporter Andrew Phelps of member station KPBS San Diego spoke with a family that fled its home in the town of Poway.
This is how Ryan Anderson and his twin daughters evacuated.
I was asleep and my girls were in bed and we had a pound on the door. It was the Poway Sheriff's Department said that we have to leave. And we opened our door, the smoke and the ash were so bad we couldn't even breathe. I mean, we looked like we were actually a different color when we came out of our apartment.
Anderson says he didn't have time to grab his wallet. He became homeless and penniless in a matter of minutes. He didn't have time to save the animals either. He said goodbye to a cat named Lucky three goldfish and a shepherd dog with one blue eye. He left the front door wide open. The family dove into the squad car. 8-year-old Violet had an asthma attack.
The Poway Sheriff's Department put us in their car, and she was just so, she puked all over his car, and he just, I don't care, I just want to get you guys to safety.
I met the Andersons at Qualcomm Stadium, the main shelter for thousands of evacuees. Ryan was asking strangers to borrow a cell phone. Little Nicole was getting worried.
I have a couple friends, and they live somewhere where the fire's going to be, and I hope...
Yeah, they live on Midland Road.
Yeah.
Have you talked to them?
No.
Yeah, no, but my friends live there, they told me that, and I hope they'll be okay.
Fire is not new to the Andersons. The Cedar Fire of 4 years ago destroyed the family home in Poway.
So this is not the first time. This is the second time.
And even after you lost that house, you stayed in the area.
Yes, sir.
You didn't leave.
No, sir. I couldn't afford to. I'm a single parent who lives on $900 a month. That's all I get. My rent is $850 a month. San Diego County, I think, is one of the greatest places in the world to live. The reason why is because of how compassionate people are towards other people's needs. I mean, this is just amazing. Look, it gives me goosebumps.
After we talked a while, Ryan started to fall apart. He pleaded for help to get a hotel room. He didn't want his daughter breathing in the ash all night. So we put Ryan on the radio. San Diego member station KPBS has been broadcasting nonstop since the fires began. Ryan told his story to listeners, and within minutes, two people called, offering to put the Andersons up for the night. Just as that news came in, Ryan got an update on his own home.
It's gone. I lost everything. It's gone. I lost everything. Shit, I lost. Everything's gone. And probably my animals are probably dead.
The Andersons' entire apartment complex burned to the ground. For NPR News, I'm Andrew Phelps in San Diego.
And also at Qualcomm Stadium, Rick Kraft. He was at home in Rancho Bernardo, north of San Diego, at 5 a.m. yesterday.
Received a call from a friend that told us that the fire was very near our house. We had kind of thought we might get a reverse 9/11 call or somebody might come pounding on the door, but it was a phone call of a good friend that woke us.
And when you went outside the home, what did you see?
I went to the front door and I saw smoke and ash and embers blowing across the yard. So we walked out to the front of our garage and looked down the street and saw a house on fire.
Right down the street from your house?
Yes.
How far away?
I would say maybe 100 yards or less.
So what did you do?
My wife had gone to the airport to pick up some friends that were flying into town last night and take them home. And we spoke on the phone about midnight and said, you know what, it looks like it might come this way. We didn't really think it was going to come this way this fast. She said, what should we take? So we determined that we would take our computer, a few boxes of pictures, and had some financial records. So we set those things aside before we went to sleep at 1 o'clock, and we just tossed those things and took off.
Do you know if your home is there?
Halfway through the day yesterday on the TV, we saw a street, Valadares Street, which is incredibly close to our house, with a very long line of homes that were burnt to the ground and just chimneys standing. And then shortly after that, though, my son-in-law was able to get into the area, and there is a home or homes in our cul-de-sac that were burnt down, but our house is still standing. So we're a little curious to see exactly what that means, but we know that as of late yesterday afternoon, the house was still standing at least.
I wonder how you think about going back there. I mean, there was a huge fire 4 years ago in this area, and now this one, which I think is even worse. Is this a safe place to live anymore?
You know what? Well, we lived in South Carolina for a number of years. You know that there could be the hurricane the next season, even if you haven't had one in 50 or 100 years. So I think it's part of living. It's a risk. No matter where you are, there are risks. This is definitely a risk of this area. It'll be interesting to see what's left. I did think last night that we're probably a little bit in a state of denial or maybe a little bit of a state of shock. And I know when we drive up into that neighborhood and we see those homes gone, and I heard that there's a little strip mall by us as well, and I heard it partially burned down. So to see that's going to be disheartening, and it's going to cause you to kind of reevaluate where you are and if that's where you need to be. But for right now, I'm I'm not ready to pack it in.
Rick Kraft from Rancho Bernardo in northeast San Diego County. Right now he's at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. Rick, thank you and good luck.
Thank you very much, Alex. Bye-bye.
You've heard us mention the Santa Ana winds as the force behind these fires.
They whip through the literature of Southern California. Joan Didion, Michael Conley, and the great L.A. crime writer Raymond Chandler had it this way. Those hot, dry winds that come down through the mountain passes and curl your hair and make your nerves jump and your skin itch.
On nights like that, every booze party ends in a fight. Meek little wives feel the edge of the carving knife and study their husbands' necks. Anything can happen.
Madeline, you are a native Californian. I am from back east. I heard about these Santa Ana winds, but I never really got it.
Watch your neck, Alex. Robert Favelle, a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UCLA, says Raymond Chandler got it right, but many people get a few things confused.
Santa Ana winds can be characterized as hot, dry winds that blow out of the desert. But what many people don't understand, even people who live here, is they don't blow out of the desert because the desert is hot. They blow out of the desert when the desert is cold.
So that's September to March. High pressure builds into the Great Basin of Nevada and Utah. And this cold air swoops up into the mountains and then down into Southern California. But what makes the winds so hot?
They become hot because the Great Basin is at much higher elevation than we are. If you take air and you bring it down, you're forcing it to compress. And when you compress air, it heats up. It actually heats up at a very rapid rate, almost 30 degrees Fahrenheit per mile.
That's Robert Favelle, professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UCLA, giving a scientific explanation for the very literary Santa Ana winds.